Coming up on Patriots This Week, a Thursday night at Foxborough turned into a primetime viewing of Dancing with the Stars.
End zone! LeGarrette Blount!
Blount forced trauma!
Even with a rookie starting at quarterback, there was no problem with Houston.
There's adversity everywhere you look. Bumps in the road, you gotta deal with it.
This week, a familiar dance partner comes to Gillette, as brash as ever.
Look, I can sit back and say, I don't care who plays quarterback, because I know Brady ain't.
Rex Ryan and the Bills buffaloed the Cardinals with an old-fashioned whooping last Sunday. And the Bills coach is ready for whatever Bill Belichick dreams up.
If Belichick's playing quarterback, we're coming after him. Yeah, I promise you that.
That's right now on Patriots This Week.
The Patriots are one of five unbeatens in the NFL as they head toward the regular season's quarter pole at 3-0, ready to welcome in the Buffalo Bills this Sunday to Foxborough's Gillette Stadium. And hi, everyone. We welcome you into Patriots This Week. Bob Soci, along with my radio partner, former Patriots quarterback Scott Zolak, and three-time Super Bowl champion as a Patriot, Matt Chatham. Guys, as noted, Patriots unbeaten. Certainly it has been a bizarre start to the season in many regards. Two different quarterbacks, no Tom Brady, barely a Rob Gronkowski out there through three games, no Rob Ninkovich, Dante Hightower's missed two. And yet despite those missing standouts, this team right on track where it usually is, atop the AFC East.
And I think it starts at the top. And when you have stability at the top, not only at the organization, but more importantly the head coach, these were great game plans and all three different types of ways that you could win football games. All three phases won that football game last Thursday night. You look at the way they approach it, and it's just the next guy up mentality. Jacoby Brissett really didn't have to go out and make a ton of plays. He made two big ones in that game, and that's why they won the football game.
One of the things I look at, you touched on in the open, Bob, is who would sort of be your presumed MVPs of this team. You look at your Tom Brady's, you look at Dante Hightower on the other side, you look at Ninkovich, sort of the undersold guy. Those are your people, and they were gone. So how do they do it? To me, it was the non-sexy stuff. I look at what that team was like a year ago in the AFC Championship game. How many plays where they couldn't get a yard on the ground? I mean, one-yard gains, zero-yard gains, really putting their backs against the wall. And this year, that's been the difference. You look at the movement they get on the offensive line. When they double-team people, they move people. You look at Nate Solder, even a week ago against Jadeveon Clowney, blocking him into the secondary. Those are the kind of things we didn't see a year ago. So in the absence of those people, that's been a big thing.
I think there is a different tenacity about this football team up front. It's only three games, so let's pump the brakes a little bit. But to his point, you know, if Solder's blocking well, you watch these receivers block downfield. Mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive. LeGarrette's running hard. James Devlin's back. I think they could run the football, and I think not having Tom Brady has forced them to do that.
And they've run it extensively. They've run it productively, and they've done it in a short span. LeGarrette Blount, back-to-back 100-yard games, more than 50 carries in those two games within a span of 5 days. A sense of toughness about him and about this team.
Well, one of the things that I like, too, and again, when you accumulate yards like that, a lot of those come from the big plays. And LeGarrette's one of those guys who eventually breaks one. He wears down on people, has some big plays in the second half, hits it jumping over people, all those cool things. But again, the thing I love more is those runs that last year were 0 or 1 that are now 2 or 4. The 2 and 4s aren't going to, you know, really jump off the screen, but 4 is such a big difference than 1. It sets the table for all the other things they do.
He's got a little drop step, and I know he's always had that in his game, and he won't admit that the way he trained in the offseason, I thought he dropped weight. I thought he looks in better shape. He's dropping a shoulder now and trying to run people over. So he's added another aspect to his game, which is great.
Another thing that's interesting about this team is the way it's controlled the tempo of games, out to fast starts, outscoring the opposition, 34-0 in the opening quarter. Generally, when you think of the Patriots setting the pace, it's going fast. This team has limited possessions thus far.
Yeah, but they do everything with it. That's the big thing. You take that first drive, you go back to Arizona, what's Jimmy going to do? Jimmy sat right in there, makes a check, hits Hogan on the long ball down the sideline. Next thing you know, holy cow, we're in a game against the Patriots with a backup quarterback, and then it starts to mess with your mind.
See, I think we did see this game with the Texans. It's going to skew the formula, really, for what we may see the rest of the year. It was that weird Thursday week, and they came out with a couple game plan-specific plays. Those two or three little gadgets that they had, Zoe hit on them. They hit them, right? And that really changed the face of the game.
The Patriots put in plays during the walkthrough, including Jacoby Brissett's 27-yard touchdown run. I want to ask you, as former players, how difficult is it for players to adapt and be flexible game to game, opponent to opponent, especially when your only preparation is a couple of days worth of walkthroughs.
I can speak more just to the special teams part and a little bit of the defensive stuff, where there had been weeks where Brad Seeley back in the day would draw up a punt return or even just a punt block, something that we thought we wanted to get in, and you do it at the walkthrough in the hotel. You know, you can't do it full speed, but I think the big thing around here is getting the kind of people that can take it from the classroom to the field in the absence of reps, because that's what the NFL is all about. Defensively, I mean, this is all the time. You know, back in the day with Teddy Bruschi and Mike Vrabel and Rack, able to, you know, Pepper Johnson, able to draw up quick things and know that, hey, we didn't get a rep that 20 times. Can you guys do this on jump with one shot at it? And then they often do. They pull it off.
Complicated stuff right there. Get back to the basics. You know, just square your feet. Don't over pursue things. Listen to what we tell you in meetings, to the walkthroughs that he talked about. I think last week was a big walkthrough week, not a lot of contact. So it goes to show you the mental approach and attention to detail. It's impressive.
Chris Long, Martellus Bennett, through free agency and a trade, have an impact on this team. Your thoughts on their abilities to contribute in different ways?
Bennett, I've been impressed with him. I think he's starting to come around offensively as far as catching the ball. The blocking edge, that's another thing why they're running the ball so well. You got tight ends that can move the edge of the line of scrimmage. You could touch on Chris Long. I think there's been that slow trend upward for him, and you haven't seen any regression.
I just think it was the perfect situation and really all the NFL for Chris. We know he had other options, but you come here, and I think he's really held the fort down in these first few weeks, which is important because you lose Ninkovich. Sheard had been nicked a little bit, but you're still able to have production from that position. Chandler Jones leaves in the offseason. So I think this is one of those situations where his production was huge for this team to have a steady presence there. I think the big issue and how you'll judge this at the end of the year is how much can he contribute over the course of 16. Having Nink back in that rotation, having Sheard as that other guy, having Trey Flowers, they've got a rotation of four guys for really two and sometimes three spots. Perfect scenario for this team.
How about the start at home to have three of the first four games at Gillette, at Foxborough? The crowd has been into it.
I
know much can be made of that, and sometimes it's overspoken. But in the case of this team, has it fed off that energy?
I think they have. And I think if you come out for a 1 o'clock game, sometimes that crowd is dead because people are still, it was beautiful, it's 80 degrees, you're tailgating. The next thing you know, you come out to take the field, and the entire place is packed, they're on their feet, they didn't sit the entire time. Thursday night games, primetime games, they take care of themselves. But I just think from the ability of the crowd to make noise and get this team going, I think, yeah, sure. I mean, you know what it was like when you were Jack.
Yeah, I mean, Crazy Uncle Roger has sort of contributed to this. I mean, he made this place, I think, a little more alive than otherwise. Way to go, Roger.
Yep.
But, you know, Zoe hits on a great point. It's easy to get fired up when the lights are on. But 1 o'clock games, and we'll get another one here with Buffalo this week, you got to get going fast. You have to have something to be excited about. And there's been a level of intrigue with this team because he took their quarterback away. So it keeps people engaged and interesting and fired up to see a new deal.
What are your thoughts on the second area of the Patriots, not only at the cornerback position, but the safeties as well?
I think the trust is there with everybody, and to have Logan Ryan lock down their number one guy, yeah, we talk about Malcolm Butler and the type of money he's going to make. Eventually, Logan Ryan's going to get paid too. So you're going to have to end up picking him, but he's done a nice job shutting down their number one guy.
It's sort of a Talib, Chris Harris kind of situation. They got two guys.
They did it with Revis here too. Revis would always take the number two guy, and then you kind of roll coverage the other way and help him out.
So they can slide things around. I think that's important. And we saw last week, this is a unique change, but, you know, Justin Coleman has been in the third role some. Cyrus Jones moved back in there, and we know what he can do in the punt return game. I think the fact that they got some flexibility, you get a guy who goes cold, and this happens all the time in coverage, everyone gets beat at some point. But they seem to have some faith in their lower end, you know, their third and fourth and fifth cornerbacks. And Cyrus is this high draft pick from Alabama who can jump in at times and still look pretty good.
So the Patriots 3-0 behind the two young quarterbacks, Garoppolo and Brissett. Meanwhile, there are other young starters under center excelling as well. We'll talk about them right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments, a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. By Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. And by Waste Management, remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of. Waste Management's new Bagster, dumpster in a bag, can take it on.
This week's Putnam Player Spotlight is on Jacoby Brissett. In his first NFL start, the 6'4", 235-pound rookie ran a different-looking Patriot offense and took this designed bootleg 27 yards for a score. And the third-round draft pick proved he's careful with the ball, throwing 187 passes without an interception while at North Carolina State. He's also been mentored by Bill Parcells, who called him a Willie McGinnis, Troy Brown-type player. Talk about good company. The Putnam Player Spotlight is brought to you by Putnam Investments, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
We're back inside the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios as Patriots This Week continues. Bob Soucy, Scott Zolak, and Matt Chatham. Pats 3-0, one of five unbeaten teams through the first 3 weeks of the NFL season. Another, the Philadelphia Eagles, without Sam Bradford or Chase Daniel, but with Carson Wentz, the kid from the FCS North Dakota State powerhouse.
Yeah, I'd send a thank you note to Jeff Fisher because that's the team that selected Jared Goff to be the number one overall pick. And to think that, you know, nobody knew what Wentz was going to do from a small town, small school. He showed a lot of poise, a lot of presence, making some plays with his legs, and there's a lot of good young quarterbacks playing well in the league right now.
Yeah, Wentz sits there. He looks great. The one thing that I think that's probably been the biggest upset that fans have noticed is he didn't really have a training camp, which is unusual. He played a lot of football at North Coast State, a lot of snaps. Clearly not the same thing as here, but he got banged up, had a rib issue. So they come in with some real game plan heavy stuff, did a lot of his best work in those first couple games in the scripted stuff, the first plays early, and it was just okay from there on. But in the biggest game against the Steelers, looked great throughout.
How about the Philadelphia defense under Jim Schwartz, new coordinator, shutting down the Steelers' offense?
Schwartz aggressive, and he's a guy that I think is perfect in the defensive coordinator role, probably not a head coach. And, you know, Jim's been around the game for a long time, and they got some good pieces there. They're young, they're athletic. Philly is trending in the right direction. Philly right now is in the driver's seat to win the NFC East, which is amazing.
Prescott, another rookie coming in and playing well. And then there's the second-year quarterback, a seventh-rounder from Northwestern, Trevor Siemian. He's allowed the Broncos to do what they do, keep winning, leaning on the defense, but he showed the ability to throw the deep ball, had four touchdown passes last time out.
Ideal situation. You couldn't script it better if you're Denver. You let the big money guy go. You draft the young quarterback in Paxton Lynch out of Memphis, who is a little raw, so you get a year or two of the old Osweiler thing to let him grow. And then Trevor Siemian, who was really unheralded out of Northwestern, comes in and plays steady. The one thing I would say from just sort of a pump-the-break standpoint, it's been 3 weeks. He's looked good. He's looked solid. Not downplaying anything he's done, but if you look back to the Bengals game, he a lot of the yards were on 50-50 balls. Demaryius goes up and get one that was a little underthrown. You know, they also had the one where he hits the out route to Emmanuel Sanders. Ugh. I mean, that could have been a pick six. It looked on the fingertips of really bad or really great. So I think he's on the edge of something. The person that drives that, in my view, though, in Denver is the exceptional defense they have and the work of C.J. Anderson. It's really table setting. Great D, great run game. C.J. Anderson is their grinder, kind of like their Kevin Faulk, the guy that does all the little things that sets the table for them.
Yeah, what he said.
Problem with 50-50 balls.
They built it the right way. Good defense. It's kind of like what we're witnessing here, what life is without Brady. That's what Denver's going through, life without Manning. So.
You mentioned 50-50 throws. Problem is sometimes they go your way, especially when you have Eric Decker and Brandon Marshall. Other times they don't. Against the Kansas City Chiefs if you're Ryan Fitzpatrick.
50-50 balls and there's like 20-80 balls. Is there a little more for their side?
Ryan Fitzpatrick absolutely stunk in that game. I mean, I watched a good chunk of that. But to throw that many interceptions and to just keep getting out there with that type of talent, he has too much good talent around him, and based what they spent money-wise on that defense, especially in the front seven, he's got to play way better than that. This is why the Jets weren't all in on Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he could have days like that.
It's Ryan Fitzpatrick's former team, the Buffalo Bills, bound for Foxborough. Talking about that game after this on Patriots This Week.
All right, it is Buffalo Week, and it's time for the Zoe Show. Shady McCoy, LeSean McCoy, take a look at this. Freeze it right here. What you're going to have, a little motion back inside, which is really going to condense some things. So what does that do to the defense? Makes it react, makes it come up tight. Go ahead and watch this play call here. So it's an easy underneath give, and it's coming and designed to go to the right side. But what do you got? Pursuit. Over pursuing. Look at the back door. Watch this block right here by T-Mobile. Right there, cuts him down. Gets an easy 5 extra yards for Shady. Okay, stop it right here. What we're starting to find out about Arizona, a little overrated defensively. Linebackers just shooting gaps, guessing, not even reading. Look at this linebacker. Comes up, gets pinned that way by the guard. Look at that backdoor hole. Go ahead and run that tape. I mean, I could have ran that in. I ran about a 5.240. That guy, he's pretty darn good. Here's our old friend Chandler Jones right here. Talk about containment. Okay, stop it right there. He's got the angle. He's got containment. Watch number 55 right here not finish this play. Oh, overrun the thing. Shady McCoy inside. You better have your pursuit angles ready, and you better have your quicker linebackers on the field when this guy carries the ball. There's your Zoe Show.
The Zoe Show is brought to you by Pepsi, the official soft drink of the New England Patriots.
Look, I can sit back and say, I don't care who plays quarterback, because I know Brady ain't.
And the Bob's Discount Furniture Studios Patriots this week continues with a look ahead of this weekend's matchup of the Pats and the Buffalo Bills. Rex Ryan back at it again, even on the victory stand, so to speak, at the podium after Sunday's win for the Bills over the Arizona Cardinals. Brings up the Patriots, says regardless of who's playing quarterback, they're coming after
it's
him.
It's not funny anymore. I'm tired. I'm not amused. Right. I'm not amused by Rex Ryan anymore.
He didn't like his impersonation of Belichick's injury report.
I think he's good for the game. I'm telling you, if this guy, you look at some of the coaches in this league that don't have personality, for whatever reason it is, Rex knows this is a big week. And I think they saved his job the other day. I really do. Because if they lose that game, they're 0-3 coming into New England without Tom Brady with a chance to be four games down with no Brady in the backfield, that would be a bad one for Rex. But he'll get ready this week because he makes the Patriots his Super Bowl.
There's such a curious case because I'd have a hard time arguing against a lot of the decisions they've made since Rex got there. Going out and getting Charles Clay, he was one of the really productive, undersung, almost like a Welker kind of
Miami,
guy.
Yeah.
He's going to be great in this new place. He hasn't been that productive there. Sammy Watkins, I mean, you'd have a hard time finding someone who didn't love. Maybe people didn't love how much Buffalo gave up to go get him. But Odell Beckham Jr. goes behind him and how productive he's been. Mike Evans, Kelvin Benjamin. Sammy Watkins has had that sort of Ferrari problem. He's had a hard time staying on the field week after week. So they seem to have the pieces, even this year. They draft two guys high defensively, and both guys are injured. So he's had to do reclamation, and it hasn't gone as well as clearly here.
I think they'll find ways to get him in there. I've been saying this for 4 weeks. I thought of the four games, of the first four, Buffalo was going to be the most difficult because I think they have athletic ability. They do on offense. You've got Shady McCoy and you have T-Mobile, Tyrod Taylor. Now you have a quarterback that on 3rd and 3, we might have to take Jamie Collins and spy him or somebody else. So it creates a whole other different set of issues for you defensively when you face a team like that.
Greg Roman was fired as the offensive coordinator after the loss to the Jets, a Thursday night defeat. How much of an impact did that have on the game against the Arizona Cardinals? Was it more a byproduct of Arizona defensively so, or simply the approach of the Bills getting back to ground and pound behind McCoy and Taylor?
We're starting to find out through 3 games, we may have kind of overrated Arizona a little bit. I thought they were soft, they weren't ready for it, and I thought Buffalo punched them right in the mouth.
And they didn't contain in the run game either. The Patriots will be well schooled in terms of keeping Taylor in the pocket this week and not allowing McCoy to rip off those long runs.
It's the change in this particular division. Ryan Tannehill to a lesser degree and then also having Tyrod Taylor. I think, and Zoe hits it on here in the Zoe show, but the notion of LeSean McCoy and Taylor, it's not just that one or the other, it's that they're both back there.
I want to keep him in the pocket. That's what I want to do. I don't want him to get outside. I don't want something to break down because now all of a sudden a guy slips behind you 5 yards. That's an easy throw for a touchdown. Keep him in the pocket. Make him be a pocket passer.
How concerned are you with the Bills' defense against the young quarterback, whether it's Garoppolo or Brissett, recognizing who's coming and when they're coming against Rex Ryan's defense? We could talk about Thurman and Rob Ryan. It's Rex's defense.
Yeah, but I don't think they're going to be exotic as if it was Brady. I think if it's Brady, they put everything into it. We got to move people around. I think it'll be more basic, and they'll just line up and try and play them.
Totally agree. I mean, how could you possibly be exotic when you don't know where the play side's going to be? If they come out and do some goofy option, and you're overloading a blitz to the wrong side, you're screwed. So
it's also up to Josh to keep them offset, too. So multiple formations, motion, you know, keep them back. Back them off a little bit.
So it's the Bills and the Patriots this Sunday in Foxborough. Final thoughts in that regard right after this on Patriots This Week.
Patriots This Week is brought to you by Putnam Investments. You, your advisor, and Putnam, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork. And by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. For information, call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Make sure Le'Veon Bell is in your starting lineup. Pittsburgh's all-purpose back just finished a 3-game suspension, and the Steelers say he will figure prominently in their game plan at home against the Chiefs. Keep Eli Manning on the bench. The Giants' running game is banged up, and the Vikings' defense has been among the league's best. Manning will have a tough time putting up big numbers Monday night in Minneapolis. But it's time to make sure Carlos Hyde is in your backfield. The 49ers running back went over the century mark against Seattle. Hyde should do well at home against the Cowboys. This week's fantasy update is brought to you by Verizon. Come home to a better network.
This Sunday at 1, Patriots host the Buffalo Bills, and Matt Chatham as the Pats hope for the same results at 3-0. Who's the game changer, and what's the outcome of their matchup with the Buffalo Bills?
A game changer for me, I'm going to go a little different here. Devin McCourty, sure. You talked about talked about Tyrod Taylor and those smooth tempo balls down the middle and then sometimes on the outside. I see Devin stealing one, maybe two, getting a ball off him. And that's going to be Patriots 27-17.
I'm going to play off that because Devin McCourty was mine, but since you took mine, I'm going to go with the other guy. I'm going to go with Patrick Chung. Patrick Chung's ability to come down and take care of guys like Clay down in the slot, to bone up in the middle on some of the seam routes. 26-20, Patriots in a tight one. I do like the Patriots in this one.
Well, we'll see how it all plays out. Of course, on a Monday night last year, the Bills, very difficult to beat for the Patriots late in 2015. Now they meet early in 2016. And for Matt Chatham and Scott Zolak, I'm Bob Soucy. We'll talk to you next week on Patriots This Week. So long, everyone.